prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. I had intended on doing today's show via Facebook Live, but we had some technical difficulties with cameras. The past 2 weeks have been technical difficulties galore, but some of them are not accidental. I have to make an announcement before we start today's show. For those of you, we have a lot of people who don't connect on Facebook to the show, but listen to the show. I'm getting messages from many of you going, hey, I can't find superhumanradio.com on iTunes, or they're going, hey, what's wrong with your website? So I have to make this announcement. I'm going to make this announcement every single day for weeks and months until it gets out there. How do I put this without sounding like I'm airing out dirty laundry? My ex-wife has hijacked superhumanradio.com with the authority of the Jefferson County courts so that she could lease it back to me for $3,500 a month, which I'm not going to do, obviously. This is extortion. It's nothing more than that. And so we've had to move to superhumanradio.net. We've had superhumanradio.com for 12 years, and we have to abandon it. This will probably continue to be a battle in court. But in the meantime, the show has to go on. So those of you who are looking for superhumanradio.com, it's not there anymore. The website is now at superhumanradio.net, and that's really a more appropriate URL anyway because it's a Superhuman Radio Network. So it kind of fits. This is cognitive dissonance right now. I'm making it sound like that's really what I wanted anyway. Nonetheless, please spread the word that the website is now superhumanradio.net, and we should have iTunes back up and running. iTunes is very, very slow to respond with any kind of help, and I understand why. They're overwhelmed. They literally manage tens of thousands of podcasts. And as soon as they get the RSS feed URL updated from .com to .net, everything will be back up on iTunes. In the meantime, those of you who are not aware, we now are on Patreon. Patreon is patron-supported radio. $5 a month, and you get every episode of Superhuman Radio. It's released within an hour of the show being done, and it's commercial-free. So if you don't want to wait for iTunes, and you don't want to wait for anything else, for that matter, then all you need to do is go to patreon.com and search for Superhuman Radio and become a $5 a month supporter and receive every single show within an hour of its production, delivered right to you on the Patreon app, commercial-free. So check that out. And thank you, and spread the word. It's now superhumanradio.net, not .com. Okay. So Amy Berger, who's been on the show numerous times, lots of people have been telling me about this Dr. Sean Baker. They're like, hey, you got to have Dr. Sean Baker on the show. Why? Well, first of all, because he's 50 years old. And second reason is because he is ultra low carb and he is breaking all sorts of records. And we're going to learn about those records here in just a moment, and doing it low carb. But the interesting thing when I started to learn about him is that he is, while he is one part of the medical orthodoxy, he doesn't think like any other doctors that I've ever spoken to. How you doing, Dr. Baker?
Hey, Carl. I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So let's start with the beginning of your journey, first of all. You have had influences of physical culture in your life for a very long time. You've been a strength athlete for a long time. You were in the military. Give us a little back history where you got bit by the bug.
Yeah, I mean, you know, about 14 years of age, I was a skinny kid and just wanted to, you know, just get a little stronger like, you know, most teenage kids do. And so I started with that. Yeah, I transitioned into powerlifting in my early 20s and early 30s. I played a semi-professional rugby during that time for a guy in New Zealand for a while. I got to where I was, you know, a pretty decent lifter. I was a drug-free 350-kilogram or 772-pound deadlifter back in my early 30s. at the time I was going to medical school, and then I kind of, during the surgical training, you know, it's kind of hard to train, but I still continue to do that stuff. I did that, did some of that strongman competitions, was reasonably good at that, and then I progressed into, throwing. So I started doing Highland Games, and so I was throwing telephone poles or called pavers and, different weights and stuff like that, shot put type stuff, and ended up winning the world championships in that. And then when I got in my late 40s, I switched over to what I'm doing now, which is just competitive indoor rowing stuff. And so that's kind of an overview of what I've done. So I've been training pretty consistently without a break for about 36 years, and still doing well.
Okay, so the whole low-carb discussion has become quite a lightning rod, and primarily because I just had Dr. Mario DiPasquale on the show, the other guy, and he really is the person 40 years ago who first started talking about high-fat, high-protein diets for athletes. But he does it sensibly in a phasic, where you have carbohydrate refeed periods, because he pays attention to evolutionary influences. But today, dietary templates have almost taken on the same fervor and aggressiveness as religious doctrine. You have people that kind of, they're in this camp, and at all costs, they defend that. So when we start to talk about low carbing, we almost run the risk of being painted with a paintbrush. That's not your thing, is it? You explain why you started doing low carb, and I know part of it has to do with your medical practice and what you were observing in your patients, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, it's kind of funny. Most doctors don't care about nutrition until it's personal. And so that's what kind of happened to me. You know, I'd gone through, you know, most of my life early, you know, until my early 40s, you know, as a pretty in-shape athlete. And then I started to have a hard time, you know, with some of the health stuff. And so I started looking at how do I get in shape? How do I get lean? And so I did what I would recommend back then, and I just, you know, cut out calories, exercise like a maniac. You know, I was doing three day workouts, you know, before I went to work, you know, during my lunch hour and when I got home, and cutting my calories. And that worked to a point, except that it was just so unsustainable and I was pretty miserable with that. And then I started reading about stuff, and then I discovered paleo diet, and I started adding, you know, that type of food in my regimen. And I felt a lot better with that, up my calories a little bit, my strength came back. And then just over time, I just kind of continued to observe people and see what's happening and then experiment. Like you said, I'm not really wedded to any dogma. I just want to do what works for me. And so that's what I think most people should look at doing. And so for me at this point, you know, I've come down to basically a zero carb diet, which is basically a carnivorous diet. And that's given me the best results. And I think it's something that, you know, people can not, you know, if you look at all the, it is confusing. There's so many different camps. You're right. And everybody knows the right answer. And everybody can cite research to support those answers. And there's all kinds of arguments for that. But the only thing that really matters in the end is what happens to you. And what I've seen, at least from observation of myself and with patients and reading about other people, that a lot of people do really well dropping carbohydrates and some other things out of their diet. I think there's some, you know, I'm not sure what in the diet's making people sick for sure, because I don't think we know. I think there's a lot of suspects, and I think the easy thing is just to knock them out at the beginning and then reintroduce them later and see what happens. So for me, what that means, dropping down to just eating meat, and I'm done very well with that. And then, you know, if I decided I want to add something back in, I will. But right now, I'm thriving while I'm doing it.
Part of the problem for me in this discussion is the same problem I have in a lot of discussions today. And that is the, you know, remember the phenomenon when Xerox came out with the first photocopier, right? That because they led the way, they actually, the word Xerox ended up becoming more than just a name. It became an action, right? Somebody would say, hey, go Xerox this for me.
Yeah, and then, a verb, right.
Yeah, yeah. But then what happened was Sharp came out with a copier. You know, all these other companies came out with copiers, yet people still said, go Xerox this for me. And the problem I have with this lumping together of things, especially when it comes to nutrition, is it's human nature for us to want the distilled down answer. But you cannot distill this particular discussion down. You have to understand that when we talk about carbohydrates, we cannot use that term broadly, because there's a great, and I want to be clear about something. I am not saying that tubers are bad for you, because they're actually good for you. But there is a vast difference between a potato and a piece of broccoli. Vast difference. But yet, we call them both carbohydrates. I think part of the problem is that there's a lot more detail and a lot more devil in the discussion about carbohydrates than we pay attention to. And everything is Twitter size today, 140 characters or less, and it's really hard to be detailed about this discussion. And the discussion owes it to itself to be detailed. What do you think about that?
Well, I think when you include, you can certainly go to the extremes of that, and you can say, you know, here's pure table sugar, and here's, you know, a box of fruit or vegetables, and you can say, yeah, there's certainly a difference in what's in the nutrients, what's in those things besides the carbohydrates. So the food, you know, the food is different from carbohydrates. You know, you've got a food which has all these different elements in there, and then you've got just the pure macronutrient of carbohydrate versus protein versus fat versus, you know, you can put alcohol in there. And so, I think there's definitely a difference. And so when you're comparing different carbohydrates and you're comparing how different people respond to those, then you have to really look at, you know, the differences. You know, if you subtract those things out of your diet completely, like I do, then I think it doesn't become as complicated. So I think it's either very simple or it can be very complicated. It just depends on what you decide to do. If you decide to be a strict carnivore, then you don't have to think about it. If you decide to include different carbohydrates and plants in your diet, then you have to sort of pick and choose and see, make sure your microbiome reacts to it correctly and make sure that, you know, you don't have any particular problems with whatever else is in that food or that you can thrive on that particular food. So I think it's very complicated or it's very simple.
So the other day we were talking about the keto diet, and I stated that from an evolutionary perspective, being in eating a keto diet all the time, year round, actually is sending a message to the body that the environment is hostile. It's not abundant, and all you've got to eat is this fat all the time. And we see people who are on keto for long periods of time actually gaining body fat. We see people who are on keto diets for long periods of time becoming infertile. We see people who are on keto diets all the time, their thyroids start to shut down. And this is all, from an evolutionary perspective, this all makes perfect sense to me, because the body's going, holy S, like, we're starving. You know, we don't have abundance. We must be in a really, really crappy place, so we can't have babies. We got to shut down the REE, because who knows what's going to happen next. And now there's emerging research. Adele Moussa has been publishing some fantastic articles in Subversity.com looking at low-carb diets and the increases in cortisol production and other stressors because of the constant need for gluconeogenesis. Isn't being on a low-carb diet all the time kind of like the same thing if you're not giving your body some sort of carbohydrate refeeds to say, hey, you know, it's good. We still have access to this stuff. Don't panic.
Well, I think one of the issues you'll see with that is because people get, you know, when they go on a ketogenic or ketogenic diet, they become macronutrient obsessed. And so they are really pushing the envelope towards, I really got to get 70-80% of my calories from fat, and they'll do things like eating sticks of butter or, you know, adding all this added fat to their diet. I don't think that's how we were designed. I think we were designed to have a little bit more balance in that. And so I think there is some issue with that. And certainly we can see some people that gain weight with that. A lot of people lose weight, obviously, but then as they sort of worry about being constantly in ketosis, that is not, in my view, the end point. The end point should be health and what you're doing clinically. And it's not a macronutrient value. It's not a, you know, how much ketones are you urinating or in your blood or breathing out or, you know, what lab values you get with that, you know. And so I think people get too infatuated with these numbers And that's not, you know, no other animal does that. No one's out there counting calories
right.
or blood ketones or, you know, or trying to figure out what to eat. And so I think there's some problem with that. I think there's a lot of people that do get themselves in problems. And I think it's just because they try to, you know, this sort of sense that I've always got to be in ketosis. And I think that is a problem.
Okay. I want to take our first commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about something. And then we're going to get into your record breaking and what you're doing right now personally. But being a board-certified orthopedic surgeon, I want to start to talk about the phenomenon of something that you discovered. We've talked about on this show many years ago. And that is inflammatory response of the body based on carbohydrate consumption, okay?
Sure.
So we're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Dr. Sean Baker. Stay tuned. Other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive, not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Sean Baker. Very, very interesting guy. He's making the rounds because he has some very provocative ideas, and they seem to be working for him. So I want to make a statement, and then I want you to critique me. I'll be the student, you'll be the professor. Short of human breast milk, everything we eat today has been, we have adapted to eat. We probably tested a lot of foods that killed us, and when grog fell down, we went, oh, not going to eat that. But our microbiome, which is our immune system, has adapted to allow us to suck the nutrients out of things like beef or potatoes, and excrete the stuff that would normally harm us. So from that assumption, all food to some degree has a level of toxicity. But carbohydrates especially, the starchy ones, the ones that seem to be linked to the diabetes population today, the high starch, high sugar ones, they are the most toxic to our system, and they elicit, as anything that stimulates the immune system, a high inflammatory response. You've learned this in your practice, haven't you?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. You know, as I first realized that my sort of joint issues that I had, there were you know, several sort of minor things that bothered me for years, sort of started to clear up when I you know, reduced the carbohydrates in my diet. Then I started to sort of offer patients that options, and many of the ones that did were pretty surprised. We've had people that even, you know, were going to be surgical candidates due to joint or tendon pain, and that went away, and so they were able to avoid surgery. And then since that time, I've really, really started paying attention to people that talk about joint health and different types of diets, and I see almost daily dozens of people that all claim that, you know, reducing this or that carbohydrate item out of their diet has led to much improved joint health. And I think, you know, when we talk about inflammation, because it's really hard to quantify, but I think sore joints or sore tendons is a really easy way clinically to sort of look at inflammation. Now, certainly there's some mechanical things, acute injuries that certainly can be overlaid on that, but in the background is chronic joint pain. If you drop something out of your diet and you notice that the joints get better, that's pretty powerful. And I think most people just sort of don't even pay attention.
Yes.
Because we have all the drugs that treat that, and we have these surgical procedures to treat that. And it's just too simple. And there's no real money in that. And so, I mean, there's nobody that wants to really, you know, tackle that. And so, but I've really been, as someone who does orthopedics, I'm very mindful about when somebody says my joints stop hurting on a diet. And you know, honestly, about 5 years ago, before I experienced it myself, I have occasionally get people that would say that, you know, they cut bread or gluten out of their diet and they noticed their joints got better. And I would kind of dismiss them as a little bit weird, you know, a little bit crazy.
Right.
Because that's something we study. We don't talk about it. We were focused on, you know, the treatment rather than the prevention. But now, I mean, I'm taking a 360 on that. And I think that probably a vast majority of what I see and do in orthopedics that would normally get some sort of medicine or surgical procedure or an injection could probably be avoided just by fixing the diet.
Well, and so probably 6 years ago, I interviewed a scientist who had a small but really powerful study. And what this individual looked at was people with osteoarthritis of the neck. Most orthopedic surgeons and or orthopedists or rheumatologists, even perhaps to a certain degree, would tell you that a lot of the arthritis we see in knees and joint and hips is related to mechanical aspects of loading the skeletal system. But that doesn't answer why we see these same osteoarthritic symptoms in the cervical spine, where people's heads are pretty much, you know, within a pound or two of each other, the same weight. And so I had this scientist on who said it's the inflammatory cytokines. See, it's hard to tease it out because Obese people are like inflammatory factories. They're like highly efficient inflammatory. They have so much inflammation, but they also have this mechanical loading aspect, right? Because they're heavier. So it's like, oh, it's the mechanical. But when this study was published, it became very, very obvious that something else was going on because these people had cervical spine arthritis. And you cannot explain that by mechanical loading, but you can explain it by the inflammatory environment of these individuals' bodies. And so it's really, yeah. And but what I'm shocked by is the Arthritis Foundation chapter of Kentucky is in my building. And I've never tried to have a discussion with them about this because I know that they would dismiss me. And quite frankly, everybody who works in the office is really, really overweight. But with that being said, I'm whispering because my voice travels. But with that being said, it's like nobody wants to hear this, that it's the, you could save your joints if you just change the way you eat and lower your chronic inflammation.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of, I mean, you can look at, we look at people that have finger arthritis. I mean, that is endemic, you know, and so, yeah. You know, did my fingers get fatter? I mean, it doesn't make sense. The same thing with the neck and even the shoulder. I made those points out before. Certainly a mechanical load can exacerbate these things, but the underlying sort of primary event is a biologic event, and it's probably caused by, like you said, inflammatory cytokines or the accumulation of advanced glycation end products. Or, you know, something else, you know, some people will attribute this to the omega-6 vegetables that we consume a great deal of quantities. And so all of those things, I think, combine to set up this inflammatory, weakening, destructive cascade. And so that happens. And so if you look at the number one consumer of knee replacements, it's sort of a late middle-aged obese female. And it's not because they're out running marathons and jumping and, you know, doing this stuff. It's just because they've built up all of this metabolic sort of badness that is just wreaking havoc on their joints. And then the extra weight that they have doesn't help on that. But I mean, I've certainly seen thin people that have arthritis to overweight people. But I mean, I think there is a big component of that, and we don't really address it in the way of trying to prevent it. We just basically say, okay, yes, there's some inflammation. Here, take your Celebrex, take your Mobic. You know, take your ibuprofen, or we'll give you a corticosteroid injection, which, and none of those really do anything other than sort of mask the problem temporarily, and often cases arguably make it worse. And then ultimately you say, well, no, that works. We're going to just go ahead and replace your knee or your hip or fuse your neck or whatever. And so what we should be doing is, and especially early on when they first come to see us, it should be, what are you eating? Let's adjust your diet and let's see how that impacts. And that would save people countless decades of suffering, in my view. And I think, you know, one of the problems is, you know, we're just too reactionary. You know, somebody put a post out today that says modern medicine is like, you know, putting an ambulance at the bottom of a cliff and waiting for people to jump. You know, we should be on the front end of that and putting our efforts into avoiding that. But right. There's no money in that. So that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about you now. So you just recently turned 50, is that correct?
I turned 50 in January, yeah, so about half a year ago, right?
And so you have been challenging your body to a greater degree than you have in the recent past, and you've been doing it while being low carb. And there are lots of people out there who say, you know, you cannot perform well low carb. Your body needs carbohydrates. So talk about what you've done recently and how that appears to fly in the face of what is thought that athletes need in the way of carbohydrate consumption.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about, you know, I can talk about, you know, thoughts on why that is. But what I've done, basically, when I turned 50, I had a couple goals. You know, one, I want to make sure, I want to see if I could dunk a basketball. I've been on a ketogenic low-carb diet for about 2-3 years prior to that, and then I switched over to this pure carnivory only diet sometime in December. But on my 50th birthday, I was able to dunk a basketball. I repped out 500 pounds for a bunch of reps in the deadlift. I broke a world record on the rowing machine. I did a backflip for the first time. I never tried it before, but I kind of learned how to do that. And so over the last 6 to 8 months, you know, I had already broken the world record on the Concept 2 indoor rowing machine. And so then I basically, over the next 6 months, I brought that down by about 4 seconds, which was,
wow.
The original record before I got it was 118.3. 1 minute, 18.3 seconds for 500 meters, and I quickly got that to 117. And over the last 6 months, I've brought that down to 114, which is, you know, a huge improvement over the world record. In fact, I'm faster than a 40-year-old world record right now, and I'm like not far off the 20-year-old world record. And so, you know, I've seen, you know, just in continued improvement, you know, whereas normally, you know, I can tell you in my early to mid-40s, I started seeing a decline in performance. And then when I sort of changed the diet around, those things started to turn around, and especially in the last 6 months, as I've increased my, you know, my basically my meat consumption, performance has continued to go up steadily, and it's been pretty, you know, it's kind of fun, you know, when you start getting older, but you're getting objectively better, and it's not that you're better relative to your peers, but you're better relative to your younger self, and I think that's pretty powerful, and I think the diet, you know, has a lot of impact on that. I think that one of the big flaws in comparing diets is, you know, when we talk about carbohydrates, is that when we look at the studies that look at sort of things like respiratory course, and they do a lot of these cycling tests where they'll take cyclists and they'll put them in two groups. One will be a higher carb group and one will be a ketogenic group, and they'll run them through a study for 4 weeks and then compare the outcome, and they'll say, well, the ketogenic group did a little worse. But what they failed to address is the fact that about those 4 weeks, they're sort of adapting to the diet. And so their performance is going to be down, and I experienced that too. But what I saw is, once I got out to 3, 4, 5, 6 months, then I noted a big turnaround. And I think there's other things that occur. I think if we look at what we see in sick people, not athletes, but if we look at sick people, a lot of people will say, I want to look up that, and my carpal tunnel disease went away. And so thus maybe my, you know, the myelination of my nerves got better. So maybe that's happening as an athlete. And as an athlete, if you have a very responsive nervous system, you're going to perform better. A lot of people report that their recovery improves significantly on a low-carb diet. I've noticed that too. And so because of that, I'm able to train more frequently and with higher intensities with less recovery time. And that ultimately, when you add all that stuff up, that provides, you know, ultimately greater performance, I believe. So I think, you know, people are, when they look at low-carb and they study it, all they look at is fuel partitioning. And that's only a small part of the equation. I think when you look at the overall package, injury prevention, better recovery, better mental state, all these other things that go into performance, you end up with a better performance.
So would you say that you eat a more Mediterranean diet or a more paleo diet? It doesn't sound like you eat a keto diet because you sound like you're eating a lot of meat, and obviously that's a protein primarily.
Well, I mean, Carl, I mean, you know, the Mediterranean diet, I mean, you know, you can't even define that. You know, there's people sort of struggle to really define that. Some people think just olive oil and fish and a little bit of you know, leafy greens and maybe a little bit of pasta. And there's other people say, wait a minute, these people eat lots of hams and, you know, sausages and red meat. And so I don't know that you can define the Mediterranean diet. You know, it depends on who you talk to. But my diet currently, I mean, yeah, I mean, my diet right now today, and it has been for the last 8 weeks, is just strictly meat. I mean, it's meat, eggs, a little bit of dairy, and nothing else. I'm not eating any fruits or vegetables or grains or certainly any processed foods or sugars or anything like that. And so I have a very sort of basic diet at this point, and I'm thriving on that. But, yeah, but is it a high protein diet? I wouldn't say it's a high protein. I mean, I get a lot of protein, but if you look at the macronutrient ratios, I eat a lot of ribeye steaks, and so I'm probably getting about 60 to 65% of my calories from fat. But I'm certainly eating more protein than the average ketogenic diet would produce.
Yeah, absolutely. So why are you doing this? I mean, are you doing it just for yourself, an N equals one type of an experiment? You're hoping to change some attitudes about diet in general, or do you even care about that?
Well, I mean, the primary reason I'm doing it, and I think it's the primary reason anybody should do it, is for my own health. I mean, I've just steadily watched my health improve the more and more I've kind of transitioned this diet. And so, absolutely, it's for my own health. And I have no other, you know, if somebody were to tell me I could go out and eat, you know, pure sugar every day and I'd have excellent health and that would be the best thing I'd do, then that's what I would do. It's not that I'm wedded to any particular dogma. It's just what I observe. I'm very meticulous, especially about athletic performance. I record this stuff every day. I really sort of scrutinize where my performance is and I kind of take in the different factors that impact that. It informs the way I train and it informs the way I recover and informs the way I eat. And so that's one of those parts of the program. So for me, it is just, that's what I feel best with. That's what my health feels best with. That's how I perform best. Now, as far as changing attitudes, yeah, we certainly have an attitude that we need to be a plant-based society, and that becoming a pretty big focal point for a lot of people. A lot of people are buying into this. You know, we've got this whole sort of meatless Monday thing that, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger got behind, which I think is a little bit hypocritical. But, you know, and so
hey, Sean, you're dropping out a little bit. I know you're on a cell phone. I want to take our last commercial break right now anyway, because I want to come back and I want to address what you're talking about, because we're getting some activity on Facebook and people are, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
In today's world, what would you give to have that ultimate edge, to always function at the highest possible level? That's exactly what the Da Vinci from Ultra Human gives you. Just one tablet a day increases focus, lowers anxiety, enhances social fluency, and improves your mood and drive. It's 8 hours strong with no crash. A sharp mind is priceless. And the Da Vinci even comes with a money-back guarantee. Find out more at theultrahuman.net. Make your brain 25 again with the Da Vinci from theultrahuman.net. Use discount code SHR10 for 10% off and free shipping.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, You'll gain with it. Alaskans agree that Sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice Sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing, so our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
So the image I use for today's show is a meme that I created last year. It was beginning of this year. It just simply says beef, the only food you can eat for every meal, every day, for years and not develop a nutrient deficiency. In fact, you'll actually thrive and not just survive. Don't fall for the lie. And the reason I made this meme is because we have our government. Keep in mind, the same government in the 70s that said, get away from fat and eat lots of carbohydrates, and look where we are today. Our government, who has a vested interest in you eating cereal grains because they subsidize those crops. They need to get their investment back. Now they're saying meat is bad. Meat is poisoning the planet. Meat is unsustainable. Meat, meat, meat. You got Jay-Z and Beyonce opening up vegan restaurants. You've got everybody out there bashing meat. When the reality is that the statement I just made is actually true. And the Vikings and the Chinese navies knew this. And that's why they brought cattle on the ships. They raised cattle. They slaughtered cattle. They milked the cows. They drank the milk. And no one developed scurvy. People forget that there's only two species on the planet, humans and guinea pigs, that don't produce their own vitamin C. Cows produce their own vitamin C. They also get vitamin C from the grass they're eating if they're eating grass. So there's vitamin C in the meat. Yes, it's true. You can even get vitamin C from eating beef. Just because the USDA didn't test for vitamin C content in beef doesn't mean it's not present. They just didn't test for it. They don't care about that. So right now on Facebook, this is why I'm kind of taking the long way around this, we have people saying, oh, but meat is the reason we have cancer and obesity and all this other stuff. And meat is not, especially good cuts of beef, are not part of the standard American diet. What do you think?
Well, I mean, two points. So the whole point about scurvy is, I mean, there's plenty of historical evidence that shows that you can ward off, prevent, and cure scurvy just by eating meat. We've known that for years. We know that the less carbohydrates you eat, the less you require vitamins. See, the requirements for it go down. So, when we look at the RDA requirements, they're based on general populations that are largely grain-based populations. So all those nutrient requirements that the RDA put out, they don't apply to particular individuals in many cases. And so you can't really say, this is what I need, especially if you're eating on a large, like a meat-based diet. And so they're different. The whole thing with meat causing obesity and cardiovascular disease and cancer and stuff like that, almost all that data always gets conflated from this epidemiologic data where they take these big groups of people and they give them these food frequency surveys and ask you what you ate for the last 6 months, and they try to guess that, and they never ever sort out the people that are going to, the fast food rate places and eating the French, the oil fried French fries and the Cokes and the shakes and the apple pies that go with that. And so you never really have a sense of what a true meat eater is. And so when you sort of take all those other factors out, and then they also, what they'll do, because they want to explain this, because they can't explain it, so they'll find, a research tool, they'll look at some sort of factor that meat sort of seems to elevate, and then they'll conflate that somehow to disease when there's really no good evidence to show that. And so I don't think there's any real good evidence to show that. All the randomized control trials never really demonstrated that meat causes any type of disease. It's almost always from these poor epidemiologic studies. One of the things that I'm trying to help organize right now, we've got a group of about 200 people that are signing up to do a 90 days of just eating meat and nothing else. And we're going to look at some of these factors and see, if it's really meat causing these problems, then they should have some evidence of either, you know, inflammation or diabetes or some of the other markers you would expect that, because you would expect it to be dose-related. If people are just eating a pure meat diet, they should be the sickest people on earth. And as we know, people like the Maasai, the Inuit, you know, the Mongols, you know, the Gauchos have all been known historically to be very healthy populations.
Right.
And free of disease despite eating, you know, just basically close to pure meat diets. And so I think, you know, it doesn't even make sense from a just a basic common sense standpoint. There's a narrative that we want it to be bad. I think there's a lot of people that don't like the fact that an animal has to die for you to get food. I mean, but that's basically, that's life and that's the way it is. But there's a narrative that people want this peace and happiness, and we can all go out there and eat leaves and grass, the world would be a better place. But that is, you know, that's basically a fantasy. But they try to push that and try to prove that, and they've never been able to do that. But unfortunately, more people are being swayed by that, and so you have celebrities pushing this stuff, and it's swaying these young people, you know, the young people who are pretty healthy, and they adopt this stuff, and then maybe 10 years later, they realize they made a mistake. But at the same time, they're pushing us to, we're going to survive by eating algae and bugs and synthetic lab meat. That's where the future's going, and I think we have to sort of turn that around and say, look, this is how our species evolved, and this is what we're designed to thrive on. If we take that away, we're going to be a very sick society. We're going to be a frail society. You know, maybe we'll have robots that, you know, do everything for us. Because
no, we're going to be sick. We're going to be sick. This is what you're – look, I've said it on this show for years. The new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from. If you continue to get your information from Kathy Lee and Dr. Oz, then you will be one of these people who will abandon meat and you'll start eating alternatives like, you know, soy burgers and all this sort of stuff, and you will get sicker and sicker. There's a girl named Lauren McKenzie who lives in the UK who just recently abandoned being a vegan because it made her sick. And as soon as she admitted this, all the vegans piled on to her with all their hate messages. This is what happens when a dietary template abandons sensibility and becomes dogmatic. It's almost like saying, oh, I'm giving up Christianity. Oh, you're going to go to hell. No. Abandoning a vegan diet is actually a smart thing to do because it's not healthy. We don't have any vegan ancestors. The closest thing we had was Australopithecus robustus, which died and gave birth to the Australopithecus gracile, which started to eat meat and continued on. We don't have any vegan ancestors. There's a reason for that, because our vegan ancestors died of nutrient deficiencies. That's it. Look, if you think vitamin B12 is important to you, they didn't have a GNC back then, where the vegan ancestor could go and supplement with the things that they weren't getting in their diet. They died from these nutrient deficiencies. You cannot get B12 from anywhere except animal sources, period. I mean, it's just silly to keep saying this. And our government doesn't give a crap, because the more of you get sick, the more of you go into the medical orthodoxy / this new sick aging phenotype that is feeding the Medicare, Medicaid, healthcare systems. They want that. They want you to have to depend on healthcare. Think about it. They'll never have to raise taxes ever again because they are now becoming your payee for your healthcare. So don't, if you fall for this lie, and one last thing I want to mention. So we hear this message that beef is unsustainable. I'll tell you what's unsustainable is growing soy. We are running out of arable land that we can use for agriculture. But only 30% of all the grazing land in America is being used right now because we have CAFOs that centralize cows and have to buy corn and soy to feed them. If we returned to letting farmers do what they do, then they would in turn be able to raise cattle on grass and have healthy cuts of beef and feed the population and exploit this other 70% of grazing land that's not being used, that cannot be used to grow crops because it's on hillsides and sloping land where farmers are not going to plant anything. And there's plenty of water to drink for cows too out there. It's called puddles and it's called springs and ponds. So we are being lied to yet again by this government that Beef is unsustainable. Beef is unhealthy. And it's going, and 50 years from now, they're going to look back at this just the way we look back at the 70s when fat got a bad rap and carbs was the right thing. And just like we look back at the 30s when they said, oh, abandon animal fats and start using hydrogenated oils when Crisco was introduced in 1909. Folks, if you get fooled again, then I'm sorry to say this, but you don't deserve to live very long and your genes will be taken out of the gene pool. And 300 years from now, we'll have fewer stupid people on the planet. Period. End of story.
Well, one of the problems is, you know, with time, you know, people start to accept, you know, disease and mediocrity. And, you know, you just see what you look around and you see, you go to the grocery store, you go to Walmart, you go to the mall, and you'll just see all this disease walking around. And that's become the norm. So
yes.
People sort of accept that. And so, you know, that's just going to continue to get worse. And then, you know, 50 years from now, my grandchildren aren't going to know what it's like to be robust and athletic and to have some muscle mass and be able to do these physical things. You know, they'll be, you know, who knows what they'll be doing electronically by then, like things that do it for them. And they'll be eating their soy, algae-based, insect-based, synthetic lab meat. And that's what's going to, existence is going to become. I mean, it's, you know, we've been eating what we've been eating for 3 million years as a species. And just in the last, you know, 50 to 100 years, we've just dramatically altered that. And you can look around the effects on the population. We are literally evolving into a sicker version of what, you know, what we could have been or what we've become. You know, you can look at the fossil records and we know that pre-agriculture, they had better muscle mass. They had, you know, larger muscle attachments. They had thicker, stronger bones. They probably had larger brains than we have now. And so it's just almost interesting watching this accelerated evolution going in a negative direction.
Well, and Dr. Daniel Lieberman, the author of The Story of the Human Body, he's a Harvard professor, wrote a fantastic book. I don't know if you're familiar with his book, The Story of the Human Body. He's an anthropologist. And he came on the show and said there are signs that we are de-evolving. We're actually going backwards. Where evolution has offered us opportunities to adapt and change in a positive direction, driven by reproductive fitness as the goal. For the first time, we are going the opposite way. We have sicker, sicker, fatter, fatter, unhealthy people, but they're still able to reproduce because we have drugs that allow them to overcome what would have taken them out of the gene pool, you know, thousands of years ago. It's maintaining their reproductive fitness. He said, we are de-evolving. That was his opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, you can certainly make that argument. You know, I think that, you know, the natural fertility rate in Western society does seem to be decreasing, but you're right. If you feed them enough drugs, you can overcome that to allow, you know, basically sicker people to sort of populate the gene pool. And we're passing on this hyperinsulin resistance from generation to generation. So these poor kids that are born to insulin resistant, they already start out, you know, behind the eight ball that way. And so then it just seems like it's a, you know, never ending cycle where it just gets worse and worse. And so, you and I can look at the last 30 years and just see a rapid decline in the overall health of not only adults, but just looking at kids now. It's very sad.
So how does someone get in touch with you for this all-meat diet research that you're planning on doing?
Yeah, so we've got a website right now. It's called nequalsmany.com. There's another fellow carnivore guy named Matt Mayer who and I have gotten together with this idea. And so we're basically signing up people. We'll probably commence something in about 2 weeks to start. We've got a little over 200 people right now that have signed up to say, hey, let's eat an all meat for 90 days and let's test us and let's see how sick we get or how sick we don't get until we can sort of dissociate this confounded, you know, meat eater equals hamburger, French fries and a shake from what a true meat eater is and what that really does to your health. So nequalsmany.com, we'll get you the website and there's information on there that tells you how to sign up, send us an email. And then, of course, you know, I talk about it a little bit on Twitter, which is my Twitter number or handle is SBakerMD. So you can find us there.
And this is kind of like what Stefansson did early on when he came back from living with the Inuit and he went to a hospital in New York.
Bellevue.
He went to Bellevue and he did this. And,
right.
And this is where he discovered the role of fat because he started out eating very, very lean beef, cuts of meat. and he didn't feel good. But then when they added the fat back into it, that's when he felt great. And he learned that eating an all-meat diet is actually healthy and wonderful. But his research is completely suppressed today, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, it hasn't been really replicated. You know, he and another guy, Anderson, did that. And it's kind of interesting because he did that study, and then, you know, it got a little bit of press, you know, in the 1940s, I think, and then it kind of died out. No one really tested that, you know, since then. But one of the interesting things that most people don't know is that he went off that diet for about 4 years and gained weight and got sicker and his joints started hurting. And I think in his 70s, he said, I'm going to go back on the all-meat diet. And he did, and he noted almost immediately that his joint pain went away, his health returned, and his vigor returned. And so that's something, another part of the story that most people don't know about. But, yeah, he did a year with no problem. He was completely fine. I mean, I've almost done a year of this, and I've gotten, I mean, if anything, my health is as good as it's ever been. My athletic performance is as good as it's ever been. And there's countless other people anecdotally that say that. But the problem is it's not the sort of synthesized and sort of consolidated and bringing people together. And so it's always dismissed as anecdote. So we're hoping to sort of change that and see if we can get enough people to sort of join together and say, hey, look, we all did it. We all did fine. I don't know what's going to happen. I have my assumptions what's going to happen, but we'll see what happens in 3 months or so.
You know, the other problem with talking about diet is, so everything you eat, and we learned this from Dr. Malin Watfi, who was on my show a few years ago. He wrote a book called Of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes. It's a fantastic book. And he shows that the activity, basically, I'm going to summarize, the activity that you do before you eat influences what your body does with what you're eating. And we cannot talk about diet in a vacuum. We have a lot of people who are looking to, like, the keto diet to make them ripped. And they're not training. And if they are training, you know, they're doing some cardio or, you know. I have to say that all of these dietary templates will not reach their desired endpoints without stimulating, and I'm going to steal a word from Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale, without stimulating the anabolome. The anabolic nature of the body is magic. If you are anabolic and you are training to build muscle and you are eating the right foods, health is bountiful. But if you're just eating the right foods and sitting in your car and sitting in front of your TV, sitting at your dinner table, and you're not doing anything to trigger the cascade of anabolic messages, you're not going to get the benefits of that meal that you should. What would you say to that statement?
Well, I think that, you know, I think it is imperative. If you look at, you know, people how they age and where they end up in their 70s and 80s and 90s, the ones that have maintained muscle mass and the ones that have done that have a much higher quality of life. And I think you should be striving, you know, even at 50, I'm still lifting as heavy as I can, sprinting as hard as I can. I'm doing those things that support, you know, muscle anabolism and, you know, just maintaining function. So I think those things are crucial for aging regardless of diet. You know, there are some people out there that, you know, there's, you know, Ronald Rosedale is very critical about eating protein in the diet because they feel that growth is a negative for longevity and you know, I've got some fly studies and maybe some mouse models that just sort of support that. But I just don't see that ultimately. I mean, you can just look at, I just don't think you can extrapolate that to humans very well yet. And I think that, you know, we should all be striving to be as strong as we can, be as functional as we can, and to do the activities that support that.
Okay, so the website is N equals many if people want to join in on this all-meat diet for 90 days thing, right?
Yeah, N=many.com. Yep, that's, and just spell it out.
Your Twitter handle is BakerMD if people want to follow you on Twitter. How else can people reach you?
So it's S Baker. It's S BakerMD. And then I've got an Instagram account. It's SeanBaker1967. I put a lot of my training stuff up there, talk a little bit about diet. And so that's another place some people, I've got a lot of high level rowers that sort of follow me on Instagram because, you know, they're pretty interested in my rowing performance and then the diet I use to support that. So I get a lot of questions from rowers that are like, How can I implement this diet? Because it's, I think it's particularly good for a strength to weight ratio, and in rowing, it's good to be very strong, but carrying extra weight is, it can be a negative. And so I think it helps in that case. Those are the main ways to do it right now. So N=Many.com, S Baker ND on Twitter, and then Sean Baker 1967 Instagram are where I'm most likely to be found.
All right, look, it's really been great to have you on the show. We'll have you back on the show. I think I'm going to go to N=Many and sign up, because I know I can eat meat for every meal, and I have a farmer that I buy my beef from, so I know they're going to be good cuts of meat. Is it just beef, or is it, could it be chicken and beef and lamb?
Yeah, so we're basically, you know, anything is meat, you know, so it can be seafood, it can be beef, it can be chicken, lamb, pork, you know. Personally, from my personal opinion, I think beef and lamb are probably the most nutritious things you can get that are in decent amounts. But there's a lot of people that do that. There are some people that will add eggs and a little bit of dairy. You know, we're trying to keep it as minimally confounded as possible, because I think one of the issues is you've got so many confounders with diet. So we're trying to get people to stay as close to possible as just meat as possible. We understand there's been some people that might drink coffee, some people that might have a little bit of alcohol, you know, have some eggs, some dairy and stuff like that. But for the most part, it should mostly be meat.
Yeah, I like it. So we'll have you back on, too, as you get closer to having some information to share with us. How's that sound?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, it would be, like I said, we're hoping to kick off. We'll get all the software ready to roll. I think Matt's building an app for this to collect data. And so once we have that done, we get started, you know, 90 days. We're going to give updates along the way and kind of talk about, you know, what's going on as far as, you know, statistics. And we're going to have various surveys for people to follow up. And then hopefully we'll have some lab testing. And for the end, we're going to hopefully raise some funds so we can get people that say, hey, they're really interested in this, and say, hey, would you contribute to this campaign so we can buy lab tests for all those people and see what their hemoglobin A1C was at the end of the test, or what their ferritin level was, or what their, you know, C-reactive protein was, and things like that. And so hopefully we can get the funds to do that, to allow us to get as much data as possible.
Very cool. I'm excited. I'm really excited to hear more about it. Listen, Dr. Baker, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks, Carl.
And we'll have you back. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad.
Are you not a properly used carbohydrate to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Crealkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So, two things. This kind of dovetails nicely into my question to Dr. Baker about the role of activating the anabolic machinery in the body. Adel Moussa just published a blog post in his subversity.com, and it basically shows that early childhood education, we miss something, and that is the contribution of physical activity to cognitive development. And it's very, very overlooked. See, we are hardwired to expend energy, folks. Just because we like sitting around and eating and having a refrigerator that we can walk to doesn't mean that it's good for us. And so we ignore the role of physical activity, and it's a mistake. Even as it relates to diet. You have a lot of people out there. They're eating a diet. I don't care. Low carb, keto, whatever. And they hit a brick wall at some point in time. And they go, gee, I can't lose any more weight. I don't understand what's wrong with me. Well, get up and friggin' move a little bit. Try going to the gym and focus on building some muscle. Muscle increases your resting energy expenditure. Muscle is metabolic currency. It burns more calories. If you're hitting the brick wall and you're not training, Then get up and train. Start focusing on training so much, not so much your diet. I mean, magic happens. You just can't teach people this because people are basically lazy. They are. Look at our population today. If you don't think people are lazy. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, we're at a greater threat today than the sovereignty of this nation is at greater threat today because of healthcare and unhealthy people. And how they're dragging us down. I mean, I don't care what you want to say. That's the God's honest truth. No one's talking about this. I mean, we don't need a healthcare system that's going to spend more money. We need somebody to start telling people, like me, I used to be fat. I was 330 pounds, so I can say this. We need to start telling fat people, stop it. I don't care if you don't care about yourself. You are dragging the country down now. You are hurting the nation. You're going to overburden us. You're one of the people. But you can't say that because, oh, God forbid you hurt somebody's feelings. Oh, then you're a bully. Well, I was fat. I know what it feels like to be fat. I didn't like being fat. My health suffered. Don't lie to me and tell me that you're healthy and you're fat. You may be healthy right now in a snapshot, but you stay fat and keep getting fatter and see if you're healthy. Just want to remind everybody, the website is now superhumanradio.net, no longer superhumanradio.com. My ex-wife has the superhumanradio.com URL. She is holding it hostage. She wants me to pay her $3,500 a month. She's a wonderful human being. So please make note of the new website. And we're working feverishly to get everything that has .com on it changed up on the website. All right, that's all for today. It's Monday. We're starting off great. We have a great list of shows for the rest of the week. Hope you can tune in. We'll see you tomorrow.